sermons, okay? So if the, I update it. I just update it. I download the sermons, but as far as anything else, anything fancy, doesn't happen. So today we're going to do our own little tribute to Troy. Like I said, I was going to talk about marriage. He would get a kick out of that. And but I thought today we would more appropriate to have our own little memorial service in regard to Troy. And I wore this shirt in honor of him because before the Patriotic concert, I said, I really like your shirt. And him and Cindy came over after lunch, his wife, and crashed out at my house. We all took our little naps. He did in the spare bedroom, I did mine, and she sacked out on the couch. And then I said, yeah, I really like your shirt. And he threw this one at me and he said, well, you can wear this one. I said, well, is that the one you were just wearing, or have you washed it? Yeah. And he said, well, does it matter? And I said, well, I guess at this point, no, but. So I put it on and it was really big and it was 100% cotton. So I said, well, I'll just wash it and 100% dry it. Yeah. But it kind of shrunk it up. It's still a little big, but I told him I would wear it on that patriotic one because he gave it to me and it was big and then it's loud. And I thought that would be a good personification of the way he was. But, you know, Troy was a man who unselfishly served as the worship leader at the church for the past year, and he'd filled in at various times over the past 3 years. I went back in my text messages to see how long he's actually been coming here, and it was pretty much at the end of April he started to come every once in a while, and then by end of June last year he was coming almost every week. And you know, times such as these are with death are unavoidable and they're difficult. And you know, death is a part of living, and there'll be times when it is very close and personal, and this is for a lot of us, this is one of those times. You know, we can read in the obituary what they just posted this morning. You know, in obituaries, you know, they're a necessity of funerals and memorial services, but you know, they're just short snapshots of an individual's life. And I've just kind of known Troy over the past 3.5 years, and there was about a year period before he came back that we had little to no contact. So it's, and the guy did a lot. He served a lot. You know, and he loved the Lord, he loved his family, he loved his country. You know, and it's one of those things that are all admirable. Obituaries are done lovingly yet quickly, and they're the best attempt to capture an individual's lives. And like I said, pages could be written about Troy. I mean, the guy had his own website. I guess that doesn't matter much to a lot of people, but he had his own website, you know. And you know, I met Troy, the first time I met Troy, it was a result of a funeral and under very trying circumstances. He, his kids, and we had very similar circumstances. His wife had left him with, I think he had 5 kids. And J.W. and Lois Kennedy took care of his kids for quite a while. In fact, they refer to Lois as grandma. And she came to the concert. She saw him at the concert when he was there. And it was through J.W., her husband's death, that Troy and I met. And it's strange as it may be, J.W. passed away on the day my wife left me. Wow. And I met Troy through that circumstance. I mean, I always joked with Lois, I said, and I remember that morning, it was a Sunday, and I was in Target when I got the call from the nursing home that J.W. died, and I always jokingly tell Lois now, I said, yep, the day my wife left you is the day your husband left you, and she kind of laughs at that. And but it was through me doing the memorial service for J.W. and Troy doing the music that our relationship came together. And he found out that my wife had just left. And of course, Troy, with the way Troy is, he laid quite a bit of information on me. You know, he gave me articles, he gave me advice, he gave me books that I still have in a box that after 2 years, I just never looked at. It's not that I didn't appreciate him, it's just like, I have a lot of stuff to read and do anyway. So it was through that we came into contact with each other, and he started to kind of fill in here with music every once in a while because he would say, you know, and at that time he was doing music as a worship leader for another church. But when he started to come back here, he was connected with the Journey Church, and I didn't realize it because I didn't ask him a lot anymore. I thought he was the worship leader, but they do more contemporary. And he said they didn't like the hymns or things like that. So he goes, well, they don't let me play there, not even any specials. So when he found out we had a need here, I said, well, Troy, why don't you you can fill in. And he said, well, how often do you want me to come back? And I said, you can come back every week if you want. And that's what he did. Up until recently, last week, he was going to take a break. He was pretty much stepping down as music here. I thought of what Jesus said in John 16:33. He gave us a preview about what life on earth will hold. And I'm going to read the Amplified. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. Why such a statement and pointing to some tough conditions? Jesus knew the heart of man and what they were capable of doing. He also knew what he was about to do, and when a life is placed in his, it's guaranteed eternal life and overcoming life of life over death. You know, Jesus knows the beginning, the middle, and the end, and he doesn't want us to faint in the times where we need to be strong. The problem is society has placed so much emphasis on life in planning for the future, it neglects and thinks very little of death. And I'm not saying that we should be dressing in black, hanging our heads and speaking in monotone all the time in regard to death. But we live, and this is one of the best phrases I ever got out of that book by Billy Graham, we live in a death-denying society. And what I mean by that is we think so little of it that when it happens to anybody, we're not prepared to deal with it. And I'm not saying, like I said, you have to always be concerned about it. But guys, it's a part of living. And when you're prepared to die, especially as a Christian, you know what? When you're a Christian, it's still tough. It's still tough to see a brother go or a sister go or a family member go because you're going to miss them. But you know what? We know where Troy is. Amen. We know where he is. You know? But it's still hard. So when it comes, it impacts our lives because oftentimes we're not prepared for it. I love what Billy Graham also said in that book. He says, and I use this at every funeral I do. It says, we cannot begin to understand the riddle of death without the guiding knowledge of the Word of God. Billy Graham says, outside the Bible, death will forever remain an unknown phantom stalking helpless human beings. The God of the Bible remains a mystery to many as they don't know him. They don't believe in the book or the Bible he left for us to read, and many won't take the time to get to know him, but that doesn't make who he is and what he did any less real. In fact, it makes it personal and life-impacting, and it gives you a more realistic view of death. And then if you have that, you live more. That's what I think, memorial services, and when somebody passes away, it really focuses you on living. And that's what we should be doing as Christians. You know, there's things for us to do. There's things God has for us. Because once we're gone, you can't go back and do them. You can't go back. That's why you want to have an impact upon society now while we're here. Jesus died so we can live forever. And when a Christian dies, they live forever with him. But very often we put aside the thought of dying, but it's part of living and it's a piece of the process. There's no doubt that Troy made a huge impact on living and took his faith in Jesus Christ very serious. He was a serious man. He was a stickler for details. He had the ability to drive me absolutely crazy during the week with his texts. I need my verses from your sermon so I can get the music ready. And I would tell him, especially when I was substituting long term, I said, I won't even have my sermon pretty much put together till Friday. But he'd text me Wednesday. Verses for your sermon? And I'd say, don't have them yet. Thursday, verses for your sermon? They're coming. Verses for your sermon. Then when I'd get them to him, he'd say, well, what's the point of your message? And one time I texted him, I said, you'll know when you come on Sunday. But I appreciated it because a lot of times I did forget, but without him, and when we had the thing in the Patriot concert in the park, he was sending me text every half an hour. It was driving me crazy. I think I'll miss that. I think I will. But he had a deep appreciation for the Word of God and a very personal relationship with the God of the Bible. I think one of the neatest things you can do is sit around with a brother or a sister and pour over Scripture and just throw it back and forth and see how God's working in your lives or what they're doing. And Troy was often very good at that. Turn over to Psalm 23. I want to read Psalm 23 because it's a very personal psalm, probably one of the most well-known quoted psalms in the Bible. But when you read it slowly and carefully, you realize how personal it is. 17 times in 6 verses, the word I or me, Psalm 23, the word I or me appears in 6 verses, 17 times. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In my Bible, I've gone through and just circled or underlined my, I, me. And there's 17 of those in 6 verses. It's incredible how you can overlook how intimate that well-known verse is. People, and I've done it, you repeat Psalm 23 because it's, the shepherd and his people, the Lord and his shepherd. But when you look at how personal it is, man, it's just incredible how much the Lord loves us, how much he cares for us, how much that he means to us. And the Bible isn't just to be read and memorized, but lived and through the process better understood and Jesus more knowable. And oftentimes through life, through death, that's the process. Situations like this often don't make any sense. But guys, we have to realize that God doesn't see life in snapshots. He sees it, the totality of it, from the beginning to the end. He knows how perfect it'll work out. And that's what we have to trust in. That's what we have to know. With death comes much sorrow. And sorrow doesn't disappear. It becomes integrated into the life as a painful part of the healthy whole. That's the thing about grieving and missing someone. And the soul has a tremendous capacity for growth. Sorrow becomes part of us, and it can seem overwhelming and devastating, and it can and will be all better. Our soul and sorrow, it goes deep down because, guys, we want to know, and everybody wants to know if God is real and if he really loves us. And Jesus shows us that he is and he does. That's where our hope needs to be. And the only place that will get us through tough situations in life. And although nobody can escape it, the certainty of death doesn't have to cast a shadow over this life. Only one person can bring you safely to heaven, and that's Jesus, the provider, guider, and protector, the personal, loving, and living shepherd, creator, and caretaker of your soul. I know life is worth living because of the sadness, sorrow, and tears shed for loved ones. I knew Troy was such a close friend, but I didn't realize how big of an impact that would have on me. When Dan called me, and afterwards, I was just like, wow. Wow, that hit home really close. And it's really tough. But a life given by the living God, one that really means something, that's making a difference, is very real and it's very personal. I mean, if you guys at this time just want to stand up and share something about Troy, you can go right ahead. You don't have to, but if you'd like to. Go right ahead.
So, on Troy's last sermon, one of the things he challenged us with was, what does the Bible say about science, about philosophy? What does the Bible say about psychology, biology, history, politics, ethics, economics, and sociology? He left us with that challenge. I'm going to try and fulfill it.
His patriotism.
Yeah.
Because so many people want to separate church and state, and as Christians we know we can't do that. And I appreciate the fact that Troy brought that back and shared with the public that we can't leave the church out of the state.
Amen. Amen. I enjoyed when he shared the history of songs, of the hymns. I truly enjoy that.
Yeah.
One thing I'll just share, because I'm kind of a musician myself, I have a music minor. I'm going to be honest with you, I play the guitar, and the guitar is one of the heaviest instruments to play, because it's stringed, and it's a very heavy instrument. Now, the piano is a different ballgame, but you have no idea how hard it is to play the guitar. And I know the pastor's first wife, she played the guitar really beautifully, and she sang really beautifully, but you have no idea how you have to, the stringed instrument, how hard the stringed instruments are to play, like the harp and I felt, I'm just going to say this from a musician's point of view, I thought he played the guitar and the rhythm and the tempo and everything, he just had perfectly down. He was an excellent musician, excellent. That's my opinion on him, excellent musician.
I hadn't known him for, well, we've only been back for a few months, and we struggled a lot. We've been bouncing around, trying to find a church home again. And I got out of leading worship a few years ago, and he inspired me.
I really enjoyed working with him, with the music and that, and I enjoyed his music. He was a good man.
I was just thinking along the verse from Acts where Paul said, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." It came on the heels in Acts 14:19, where it says, "Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." And it goes on, "When they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, 'We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.'" And that's kind of, that's the verses that I kind of thought of when I was thinking of Troy, that you know, he was the kind of guy that no matter what happened, and however he could do it, even though if he wasn't welcomed, even if somebody didn't like him, it didn't really matter. If the kingdom of God was at stake, he would continue in the faith and get the word out and the message out. And that's just kind of the example that he left for me. And this is one of those very trying, hard times, but we're saved by faith and nothing more, so we're to continue in the faith because that's what will get us through. It was a four-wheeler accident. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know the particulars of it, other than he was thrown from his four-wheeler. But Troy came and went when needed, and he went where he was needed. He was a man of his word, even if at times it was presented in a very matter-of-fact way. He was above all a man of God who wasn't perfect, but held to the one who was. And Troy was fiercely independent, loved his God, country, and family, and did everything, and then some, to serve and protect that what he knew was sacred and special. You know, it's easy to say he was one of a kind. It's much harder to realize how much he will be missed. I came across this from my devotional the other day from Oswald Chamber. It's called The Concept of Divine Control. And Oswald said, Jesus said there are times when God cannot lift the darkness from you, but you should trust him. At times God will appear like an unkind friend, but he is not. He will appear like an unnatural father, but he is not. He will appear like an unjust judge, but he is not. Keep the thought that the mind of God is behind all things and strong and growing. Not even the smallest detail of life happens unless God's will is behind it. You know, we trust in God, we know who God is, and we know that his hand is upon this event. I write a devotional every month. And Friday morning, before Dan called me, I sat down. For 2 weeks, I've been accumulating information, just bits and pieces that God was giving me, and I was putting it on my phone. So that morning, I put it down on paper, and I gave it a title, and I put, I knew a man. This was before I knew Troy died. And I, even after I put that information down on paper, I said, why did I put I knew a man? Because it didn't seem to make sense with what I wrote. But that's because I said, what title am I going to put this? And I just typed, I knew a man. And later that day I found out, and yesterday I finished it. And it says, the very gates of hell, that is where the workers of Jesus Christ operate. The business is serious and there is a road that leads directly into it. This way is well traveled, wide, and filled with many laughing, foolish, and poorly advised people. The wasted talent, life, and dreams that travel this highway are souls that once enjoyed all selfish pursuits, only to realize too late the eternal damnation they provided. That the calling command of every Christian is to work this road and divert the flow. I knew a man who did this well. The road to hell takes little effort and fulfills every selfish desire. It does not unite a heart to anything, but separates it by selfishness and foolish choices. It promises but never delivers, oh, the gates of hell and the men I knew who have gone before. Many things lead to the gates of hell. Only one thing allows entry. It is an individual choice that takes effort and commitment. There is no one to blame and no blame to be passed around. Admittance to hell is made freely and knowingly by those who pass by. Little prepared and so surprised. The gates of hell have no welcoming committee and all are most certainly welcome to come in. There exists another road that is less traveled. It is one that is filled with love, hate, thorns, roses, and sacrifice. It is the way that has no toll, as the ultimate price to travel on it has been paid. I knew a man who was very well acquainted with the work of God. He was a dear brother who was, and this I added towards the end, he was a dear brother who served unselfishly, sacrificed countless hours and many miles for his Lord and Savior. He was a dedicated Christian, family man, and loved his family. He completely understood that on earth, the fight is to the end with very little rest. I had written all that except those last couple sentences before I found out that Troy passed away. And then I just quoted, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to the destruction, and there are many who go in by it. The verse that caught my eye and I think of about Troy, and the one we all want to hear when we get to heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that the one you want to hear? And I think he heard that. And I think he's waiting for us. And he's probably telling us to get to work, we just can't hear him. He just can't text me from heaven. Which is a good thing. Because I'd never be out of service. I couldn't say, well, I'm losing you. I'm going from Sundance to Moorcroft or from Sundance to Beulah. But it's, yeah, no. But losses will come in this life, and we have to realize they're all part of a bigger gain. Psalm 32:8 in the New Living Translation, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. So keep his family in prayer. And just keep everything else in prayer. You'll be greatly missed. It was great having him here. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you just for the man you gave us, Lord, and we just, what a blessing he was to us, our community, our church, and Lord, to your body as a whole. Lift up his family, lift up his friends. Comfort them, strengthen them, encourage them. And Lord, help us get through these times just by the memories we've been given, that we never forget those, that we can joke about our brother, but we know that he's always there giving us lessons, even in his passing, quite a lengthy list that Jeff provided, but one that he would expect us to fulfill nonetheless. And Lord, we just thank you for being our God. And Lord, may we always serve you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Please stand. We're gonna listen to one of the songs that Troy left in closing of his CD.